Bengal Buzz, a show featuring interviews with noteworthy ISU alumni, students, faculty, and friends. This program is dedicated to exploring and celebrating the individual stories and accomplishments of Bengals.
Program support for KISU's Bengal Buzz is provided by a grant from ISU Credit Union. With offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello, ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including home, auto and RV loans, and credit cards, plus over 5,000 shared branches nationwide and much more. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.
Now the host of Bengal Buzz, Ryan Sargent.
Man, I am so excited for our guest tonight. I've been trying to get Jordan Charette on the show for a long time. How many months have I been talking about this, Jordan? Probably the better part of a year trying to get you on this show.
Yeah, for a long time you have.
Yeah,
well, I'm scared I'm going to ruin it for you, though.
I'm glad our schedule's finally lined up and that you can be here with us tonight. Jordan is someone that I went to college with, and we met here at ISU and have been good friends ever since. But I think you've got a really interesting story, so it's going to make a good episode.
Bless your heart. I hope it does.
introduce yourself to our listeners. Where are you from?
So my name's Jordan Charette. I'm originally from the Bear Lake Valley. Graduated in 2000 from high school and moved up here and went to college from there on out.
Yeah, yeah. What made you decide to go to Idaho State?
You know, unfortunately, I was one of those ones that came to ISU because it was close to home.
Yeah.
What I didn't plan on is how much I'd fall in love with the university and how cool it is up here, actually. So
yeah.
I hope that changes over time.
I don't know if it's because of my friendship with you that I just meet a lot of people from Montpelier and the, you know, Bear Lake County. But, man, it seems like we have a lot of students and when we were in school, it seemed like there was a ton of people from Bear Lake up here.
Yeah, and I don't know why. It seems like the two universities from there that they go to is either the one down in Logan or this one. And if they had any smarts, they'd all come up here for sure. So
I agree with you there.
Yep.
So you came up to Idaho State. Tell us about your Idaho State experience.
So I came up here in the fall of 2000. I was one of those ones that went to college for 6 years. And no, I'm not a doctor. And I attended the College of Business, got my degree, or no, I didn't get my degree, but I attended the College of Business and enjoyed it, loved every aspect there. College of Business was good because it taught me a bunch of connections, how to use Excel. I didn't know how to use Excel until I got to the College of Business. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, so, I still have trouble with Excel, so yeah. I think
that was one of the cool things I got from the College of Business. Loved Idaho University, Idaho State University. It taught me confidence. It taught me how to get involved in things bigger than I ever thought I would be able to be involved in, and that was the confidence I got from Idaho State and getting involved with student government and stuff like that. So,
you know, what got you interested in business? How was that what you decided to study?
Good question. My whole life, my father has had his own business. So at the age of 8 years old, I actually got in trouble, and my punishment was a job. So at the age of eight years old. I was working in a retail store, and we had owned a hardware store at the time, so I was selling nuts and bolts and pipe fittings. I was cutting pipe and doing all that.
As an 8-year-old, huh?
As an 8-year-old, can you believe that?
Was he paying you?
Quarter an hour was my
quarter
first.
An hour?
Quarter an hour.
Yeah,
so
that's all right.
My parents were smart. They figured out how to make me make money for them, so.
And, you know, your dad, I know your dad,
yep.
So he's had several businesses down
yep.
in Montpelier.
Yep.
I know a couple of Radio Shacks.
So he's
in Afton, right? And,
yep.
And Montpelier.
So he started out in the late 70s in the farm implement business, and that over time's involved to two Radio Shacks, and then he has three locations for the trailer sales, which is what I do currently now. I work in the family business selling horse and stock trailers.
Cool. Well, let's jump back to Idaho State.
Okay.
You know, you say the College of Business. Who was your favorite professor?
Good question. So I think one of the coolest things about ISU is the opportunity it gives for the professors to teach you. For example, I'd have to say my two favorite classes were Idaho Politics and the Politicians by Richard Stallings, who was a former U.S. representative,
uh-huh.
And that class was awesome.
Yeah, what'd you like about that?
I like politics. I love Idaho politics. Let's go that route. And it was just fun to learn from him, someone that's done it. We didn't agree a lot on politics, me and him, but it was just fun to to be in that class and learn from him. And I don't think you'd get that anywhere else other than Idaho State University.
Yeah. He's a great teacher. I don't know if you knew this or not. I grew up across the street from Richard Stelling. So, I spent a lot of time in his basement hearing his old war stories of, you know, fighting the good fight in Washington. And that was a great course. I don't think I took it with you, but I did take it when I was at Idaho State.
No, and I actually took it in what would have been 2008. No, not 2008. 2006, I want to say.
Okay.
And I don't know if I can say this, but I took it with a couple of Tom Luna's kids. Okay. As his dad was running for the state superintendent. So it was fun to have that aspect of it, of the Luna kids in that class and –
Yeah.
With Richard.
And that was an exciting campaign.
It was. And actually,
Tom's kind of a controversial candidate.
Yeah. And he actually came and spoke to us in that class. And it was fun to see him and Richard Stallings go from one side to the other against each other. It was good. So, I mean, it was a fun class. And ironically enough, what got me interested in Idaho politics, besides my father, was when I was in seventh grade, and I got checked out of class. And we actually went to the airport in Bear Lake and picked up the governor of Idaho at the time, who was Dirk Kempthorne. And from that day on, Dirk Kempthorne knew me. He's got a great memory. And so he, because of the friendship I had with him, it got me involved in Idaho politics. And I tell you that because at the end of Stalling's class, you have to do a report on an Idaho politician. Of course, I picked Governor Kempthorne, who before he was governor, was a member of the Senate who beat Richard Stallings for that office.
Yeah, they ran against each other for the U.S. Senate, right?
Yeah, they did. And I remember when I went and told Professor Stallings that I was doing a report on Governor Kempthorne, he was like, really? I'm like, yeah, why? I later learned why.
You didn't realize
it. I didn't realize it at the time, no. I later learned why. So.
Yeah, if I remember, you wrote the report, so you tell me if I'm right. But if I remember right, Richard was our representative on this side of the state, second district. And Kempthorne was governor of Boise, mayor of the city of Boise.
Yep.
And
they ran for the Senate seat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Cool. So, but a good opportunity that we got here at ISU that I wouldn't have got anywhere else. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're too humble to say it, but I will. Your dad served in the Idaho legislature, so that was probably some of your first introduction to the.
Yeah. He got appointed by Governor Kempthorne.
Okay.
In 1999, and he served a year there. So. Yep.
Yeah. Very cool. So you liked Richard Stallings' class? That's a political science or history class.
It was a political science. I actually kind of wish, knowing what I know now, I would have got my degree in poli sci, because those classes I enjoyed more than the College of Business. I enjoy business more as a profession, but I enjoyed learning about, kind of hobby-wise, the politics part of it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So tell us about some of your business professors you enjoyed or courses you took there.
So my favorite teacher, hands down, was Judge Randy Smith. Yeah. Now, I'm not smart enough for his classes. I can guarantee you that. But I could not pass.
His classes were tough.
They're horrible. I think my highest score on any of his assignments was like a 52%. And that's not a joke. But I promise you, I passed both of his classes. And I'll tell you why here in a second. But you just couldn't turn down that opportunity to be taught by Judge Smith. No matter how many times you had to retake him, which I never did. But so he taught Intro to Business Law, and then there was another one he taught.
Business organizations, I think.
I can't remember the names, but he taught two of them. And the first one I took from him, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this. The first one I took from him, I think my highest score on his test was like a 57. So when the report cards come out, I'm fully expecting to flunk the class and have to retake, and I see a C-. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Not sure how
he did that. He grades on a friendly curve.
I guess that, that's what I thought until the second time I took his class. He looks at me and goes, Shrett, you're back, huh? I go, yeah. So towards the end of the semester, and it's funny, in his class, I'd sit in the very back of the class. So one day towards the end of the semester, we're sitting there and we're talking, and I made Judge Smith a friend. I talked to him after class. His position and his political views, they were just fun to talk to. Yeah.
He's an old political war horse,
he
right?
Is. I mean, he is. He'd always remind me that he was voted the best county chairman in Idaho the year that he was the Cabanic County chairman for the Republican Party. Yeah.
Of course, we should tell our listeners, for those that aren't familiar with Judge Smith, that he served on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's what he was doing when you would have taken those classes.
He got the appointment right after I took the classes, actually.
Oh, okay.
So he was
a federal district judge, is that what it was?
Yep. So, which is cool. I mean, again, I don't think you get those opportunities anywhere else. But So I'm sitting in his class the second time around. And I, like I said, I'm sitting in the very back. And he, towards the end of the semester, he's sitting in the front of the class and he goes, "There's two ways to pass my class." He goes, "You can do the homework and do good on the test." And he looks at me and he goes, "And Shrett, you haven't done either of those." I'm like, "All right, so where is this going?" And he looks at me and goes, "Or you can be the teacher's pet. Shrett, I think you'll be okay." Sure enough, C minus, I passed his class. So bless his heart. That was and it's those relationships you build here at ISU that I don't think you get anywhere else.
So. Yeah.
Well, I keep saying that, but I really mean it. So.
Yeah. I mean, let's just look at these two experiences that you've explained. One is learning from a former U.S. congressman, and the other is learning from a very well-known federal court of appeals judge. I mean, those are remarkable experiences.
Literally, his last appointment was one position below the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, again, I passed Stallings' class, but Judge Smith I couldn't have done without him. But again, it was too good of an opportunity to not have.
Yeah.
So.
And, man, I took Randy Smith's classes as well. And Judge Smith, man, he was he taught those classes just like a law school class. I mean, he went down the – at least when I took it, he went down the roll alphabetical order with questions. You had to stand up in front of the class as he used the Socratic method to test your knowledge. And it was stressful.
I always got worried he was going to call on me. And he did a few times, but I think towards the end he got frustrated and quit doing it. So
– Yeah. So I know that you were also involved with some extracurricular activities during your time at ISU.
Like student government, intramurals, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the important stuff. I know you're an intramural champion.
We were on a flag football team here that got invited to nationals. They finished fourth place. Unfortunately, I didn't go to nationals with them because I had other stuff come up, but they finished fourth place as a national team.
Yeah.
So. And the cool thing about that is the majority – I was one of the few people that were not on that team from Cary High School in Cary, Idaho. So you got this small one District A school team.
You got all these eight-man football players.
So. Yep, and they dominated on the flag football field. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Eight-man football is probably far more similar to flag football than 11-man.
And I always wondered if that's what set them apart because they were all quick little buggers too on that team. Like I was one of the slowest ones, and they did good. They was a good, fun team. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got involved with student government. That was a lot of fun as well. I think I came in the year after you were the student body president.
Yeah. So, I know we weren't in at the same time, but.
I got kicked out of a Senate meeting one time.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What for? Like kicked out of the Senate altogether or just expelled from a meeting?
Just got expelled from the meeting one time.
Okay.
Then it was Brian Wheat was the chairman of the Senate. He was the vice president. For whatever reason, he felt like kicking me out that one day, so I did.
He showed his authority.
He did, bless his heart.
Got you booted. So. Didn't want you voting against his bill or something?
I think I'm pretty sure I voted with him most of the time. I think he was just having fun that day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it was fun. It was, again, relationships there that wouldn't got anywhere else, you know, with you and Brian Wheat and all the other people there. Still talk to a lot of you guys today.
So. Yeah. Some of my best friends came out of those ASISU days. Yeah. And for students that are listening right now, ASISU elections are coming up. The filings open right now, I think, until the second week of February. And so for those students that might be listening, you know, what kind of encouragement would you give them to
just
get involved with ASISU?
Just get involved. You will be amazed at the relationships and the opportunities that open up, maybe not during ISU, but or not while you're in college, but even afterwards. Like, it's amazing the people that I see on the street that were involved that we still talk to and have opportunities to help out and that kind of stuff. It's cool. You need to get involved. College, ISU will be what you make it. If you want to just come up here, attend ISU during the week and go home on the weekends and not have a good college experience, you'll get that. If you want to come up here and get involved and see what's going on, man, you'll fall in love with this university so much. And truthfully, everyone in my family's gone here. My mom and dad attended here. My sisters attended here. All their kids attended here. You know, it's a good university. We all have good things to say about it. So,
yeah. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Bengal Buzz. Our guest tonight is Jordan Charette. Jordan was a business student here at ISU and a local businessman. Let's talk about what you did after graduation.
So,
well. Or exiting after, without a degree.
Yeah, 6 years, no degree. But still, like, even though I don't have a degree, the university put an impact on my life that I still, you know, it was worth coming. Like, I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's worth the investment.
Yeah, it was, hands down. So what I'm doing now is I moved part of our family business, which was selling horse and stock trailers mainly, up to Pocatello. Been doing that since about 2008, so about 12 years, and been doing it ever since. And we've grown every year. Pokey's a great place for a business. Anyone that wants to move a business in, except for trailer sales, come do it, because it's awesome here in Pocatello.
Yeah. So. Well, it's been fun to watch your business grow here in Pocatello. I mean, I remember when you first started out, you rented this little house that was kind of in the middle of a, you know, large gravel parking lot. It was like a one-bedroom house that you turned into a shop.
Two-bedroom house, little shop. I did everything there from maintenance, repair to transport. It was just me running the whole show. And I think when I first started, I had like five trailers on the lot.
Yeah.
You know, now I've got six full-time employees, over $1 million in inventory on my lot. And we're selling quite a few trailers. We did just under 600 trailers last year.
Wow. So yeah, that's remarkable. Yeah. How many did you sell that first year in Pocatello?
I don't know the answer to that. We probably...
It was a one-man show.
It was, yeah.
I mean, your dad was down in Montpelier, but I mean...
I probably did 100. Probably did 100 that year. Yeah. Probably about 10 to 15 a month is what I averaged, so...
Yeah. Yeah. So, I noticed they're giving you some free advertising down there at your old shop.
Yeah.
They must have... I don't know, removed the sign that was on top of your sign or something.
So the city
required... Is that the right phone number for Bear Lake Trailers?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, so the city required us to put a sign up, and the sign that you see now is one that we had from like 1970s that we put up and put little vinyl decals. And the business that moved in after us, they just put their sign up on top of it. Well, they moved out and they pulled it off, and so our sign's just back up again. So, but don't go there. We've moved. We've got a different location now right off the freeway. So,
what's your favorite thing about owning your own business?
I love the challenge. Trailers are fun, but I don't have a passion for them. But I love the everyday in and out challenges of business and growing and how to grow and the strategy. Man, it's fun. I love the competition of trying to beat your competitor and you know, that kind of stuff. It's a blast. I love entrepreneurship, and that's what I do. I'm more of an entrepreneur than I am a business owner, I'd say. So,
yeah. What's the most challenging part, or I don't want to say negative, but the thing that maybe keeps you up at night?
I don't know. You're always worried about debt. I mean, any business has debt. We have debt. You're always making sure the payments are good. As long as the economy's good, I have nothing to worry about. You always wonder what's going to happen there. So I worry about that. I hear a lot of people talk about employees being the hardest part about of a business. But I've got some really good employees that actually care and are invested in the business. So I can't even say that right now. We've got a good thing going right now. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, for our listeners, in case there's anyone looking for a horse trailer or a shed.
Or any kind of trailer.
Yeah.
I always say it too. I always say horse and stock trailers. But dad's slogan is anything you pull with a pickup, we sell, except for RVs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Or a flatbed. Anyway, tell people how they can contact your business if they are looking for that type of thing.
Just our website's BearLakeTrailerSales.com. The name of Bear Lake, obviously, because that's where I'm from, and trailers because that's what we do. So BearLakeTrailerSales.com, and get on there, and that can tell you how to get a hold of us. Emails and all that's are on there, and phone numbers. So
you're located on Cliffs Drive. If somebody wants to
south side
head up and look at your inventory or whatever.
Yep, we're on the south side of Pocatello. Just. On 4377 Cliffs Drive is our address, and just right off the freeway. You can't miss us. So,
yeah. Very cool.
So, you don't.
So, Jordan, we've got a lot of students here at Idaho State that I'm sure want to be business owners themselves to start something and build something of their own. What kind of advice would you give those students?
I think some of the biggest things to me is don't be scared to start small. I think a lot of people think that they need to go in and have this big extravagant plan and spend a lot of money. Man, don't be scared to start small. Don't be scared to start in a two-bedroom house with 10 trailers or you doing it all, you know.
How long did you run your business before you hired someone down here?
So I hired part-time employees probably within about 6 years. But for the first 5-6 years, I was doing it Monday through Friday, or Monday through Saturday, all day, every day.
Every part of the business,
every part of the business.
Keeping the books, doing the sales, hosing out the trailers.
Maintaining the trailers, cleaning horse manure out of trailers, you know. And I still do it today, but not near as often as I used to. Uh-huh. Don't be scared to start small. Don't be scared to do it. Don't be scared to lose money. Everything takes a risk, but, you know, if you start small, you can kind of manage what you're going to lose originally if it's not going to work, but... The same aspect. You got to go in. Dad's saying is when you own your own business, you only have to work a half a day. He says it doesn't matter if it's the first 12 hours or the second 12 hours, you have to work half a day. And there is so much truth to that. If you want a job where you can leave and lock up and not worry about the business, owning your own business is not for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to, you've got to love the, you don't know how many times at midnight I'm thinking about strategies on how to evolve the business and where it goes. And I love it. That's what I love about business is coming up with that stuff. So you can't be scared to work. Yeah. I guess that'd be the
thing. I've got a friend that owns another business. Someone we went to school with owns another business here in town. He says, I work 80 hours a week so that I don't have to work 40 hours for somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like his big joke, you know?
Well, and it's not a joke. It's the truth. Like Ashton Kutcher said it the best when he says, good luck looks a lot like hard work. And I think there's so much truth to that. There's so much more you go on behind the scenes that it's not even funny, but you got to work. You can't be scared to work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, your story's been so cool to watch, and it's neat to see how successful you've become as you've expanded beyond, you know, just horse trailers. You got a service department now and things like that, that is just, you know, a whole nother world from where you started. So that's cool.
Well, and you don't know how many teachers in high school would tell my parents that I wasn't going to amount to anything, you know, or wasn't going anywhere.
So some sweet revenge is also part of it, huh?
I don't know if that's the case, but no matter how many people tell you can't do it, you just got to believe in yourself. Like, I truly believe that the only limitations in life that exist are what you put on yourself. Like, if you wanted to go start your own business and sell trailers, you can do it if you want to do it hard enough. And so believe in yourself. I guess that'd be the third thing I'd tell somebody. Believe in yourself. Believe what you can do. And you're going to probably start at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But you can eventually you'll get on the top if you work hard enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, beyond business, you've also had a pretty influential role in local politics. You know, you mentioned that you loved Richard Stallings' class and political science classes. Tell us a little bit about that, your kind of civic engagement.
So I was given an opportunity to get involved with the Republican Party here in Southeast Idaho. And when I was 24, I was put on as a regional chairman, which is basically over the Republican Party in Southeast Idaho, is from Bear Lake to Power County and all those counties in between. And that was really cool to get involved and see all the local politics in each one of those counties. And for the longest time, I was the youngest person in the state of Idaho with that position. That might have changed since then. I haven't followed it that close, but for years, I was the youngest one in that position, and that was fun. But I think the thing I enjoyed the most was I left that position and went to the Bannock County chairman, and I enjoyed that more because I think it gives you more on the front lines where you can recruit candidates.
You're down in the trenches.
In the trenches, yeah. And that was a lot of fun to do, to actually recruit candidates and help get them elected and be a part of that. It was a lot of fun. So
kind of, I don't know if you describe it this way, but kind of the hallmark of your time as Bannock County Chair was when the Republicans switched to a caucus in Idaho and you had to run the first presidential caucus what year was that, 2008 or 2012?
Yeah, I think it was 2008, And thank goodness
I think it was 12, wasn't it? Because
it would have been when Romney ran against
President
Obama.
So that would have been 2012.
Would have been 12.
So 2012, and of course a caucus is different than a primary. They have the same function and delegate allocation to a national convention, but
it's all
a caucus,
present.
You've got to show up in person.
Yep.
And you kind of go on, you know, the Iowa caucus, is actually tonight it's going on right now as we're on the radio.
Tonight. I'm just glad Idaho only did it 1 year because it was, it worked. Like, I think if I remember right, Bannock County that night had the second or third biggest caucus in the state of Idaho. I think Ada and Canyon beat it. And I think we beat Bonneville County for a bigger caucus.
Wow.
We actually rented out the sub that night. We were planning on putting everyone in the ballroom for that caucus. And with like 30 minutes to go, the ballroom was already packed full. And literally every section in the sub, there was people in the canoe room and the Wood River room. And luckily it worked out. I think there ended up being like 6,000 to 8,000 people there, and we were only planning for 2.
How long did the caucus go?
It didn't go very. We started at 7. I want to say we were done about 8:30.
Okay.
And part of the reason we were done so early is luckily Mitt Romney, who won the delegate votes from Bannock County.
And I think he won Idaho, didn't he?
He won Idaho, yeah. But he got the majority of the vote the first time around. So luckily that worked out that way to where we didn't have to go. Because with the caucus, what you ended up having to do is the lowest people got dropped off the ballot.
Yeah, had to go to their second choice.
Yeah, because you had to have a simple majority of the people in that room. So it could have been terrible if we'd had to keep voting on and on again. But it was awesome.
Who came in second? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah, remember?
I'm going to say Ron Paul.
Yeah, I was going to say Ron Paul had some pretty passionate followers in Idaho, I think.
That's who I voted for, I think. So I think so.
Yeah. the chairman gets to vote, huh? You're a full participant.
I was actually, because I was a Bannock County resident. Yeah. I should have had a vote. Yeah.
I think,
and we actually had students from Century High School. They were counting the ballots. The ones that couldn't vote were counting the ballots.
Really?
Yeah. So that was kind of cool too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is neat.
Yeah.
That is neat. I think the Democrats still do a caucus in Idaho, right? Hasn't the Democratic Party always selected their?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Delegates that way.
To be honest with you, I'm not involved in politics as much as I was anymore because I kind of got jaded with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm sick of the left and the right. It's either them or us when I think there's a lot more in the middle of us. You know, people that are like, it's not either or, if that makes sense. So sure. I honestly don't know. I don't follow it near as close as I did, even though I just spent the last 25 minutes telling you how much I love Idaho politics.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. Thanks.
Good experiences anyway.
And yeah, great experiences.
It's just like everything in life, right? You get involved and you make some friends and it really hopefully pushes you to be a better person.
Well, and it's amazing how you see the outside of an organization. You're like, man, it's a long ways up to the top. But you actually get involved and you realize how quick it can be. Some kid from Bear Lake County can become the chairman of the Bannock County Republican politics, and you know, in 4 or 5 years after you just get involved and willing to work. So,
yeah, very neat.
Yeah,
very neat. Well, Jordan, we are just about out of time. I sure appreciate you coming on the show tonight. And you know, before we started recording, Jordan was really worried that we weren't going to be able to fill up our half hour, but it's gone pretty quick.
I hope you continue to have a show after this one and it doesn't die with me.
Well, you're a great Bengal and still such a good supporter of the Alumni Association and a great advocate for the university. We appreciate what you do. And Jordan's here. He's wearing Idaho State stuff, which I think I see him in ISU stuff at least 3/4 of the time when I run into you. So.
Yeah, nice thing about owning your own business, you can wear hoodies that have Idaho State on them. So, but on that aspect, the Alumni Association here at Idaho State has a good director, and it's easy to support them when they have the good leadership. Yeah. So you're doing a good job, sir.
I just slipped him a 20 right now.
That's not true.
End the show with that. But thanks for being on the show, and go Bengals.
Join us for Bengal Buzz on KISU-FM the first and third Mondays of each month at 7 p.m. during the academic school year. For more information or audio of this episode or others, visit KISU on the web at kisu.org.